John chapter 3. As I said, how many of you are in basic Christian doctrine? Oh, take out your pen. You get all your answers right here this morning. This. Okay. Told you there are benefits in coming to family church school. Especially Deacon's knees. This is a particular unit in basic Christian doctrine where we teach salvation and that you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3, if you're there, please, someone, verse 17 and 18. It's not in your printed text, but I think we should need to start there to find out how it is that God's love is manifested in the person of Jesus Christ, and therefore his love must be called saving love. But I want everybody to know, love does not save you. Love did not save you. Love did not save you. Love did not save you. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourself. It is not by love. Love is the instrument used to act, just as faith is an instrument. But it is the compassion that God shows for us to dispense the unmerited favor that we are saved. But let's see, verse 17 and 18. Anybody there?
I have it.
Yes, who's that? Who's that said I have it?
I have it.
Yes, ma'am. She's standing.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world.
But that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
But that the world through him might be saved.
He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen. God's love exists no matter what. But understand one thing, that in the latter clause of 16, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there are some that will not have everlasting life. And they cannot blame God, because God is. First of all, let me tell you that today we have a teaching and then we have an example. Basically, there are a whole bunch of folk that think they know a lot about God and they don't know nothing. They boast. They've come to a point in their lives that you can't tell them nothing. They can't learn anything. That's why they don't come to family church school or go to a private Bible study or midweek. Oh, they don't do it because they know all there is. But I have never read the Word of God and not been convinced, convicted, and challenged in every area of my life. No doubt about it, because that's the purpose of the Word. Here, this little pericope, this parcel of Scripture is tucked away in John, and we're introduced to someone who appears only three times in the Bible, but is a tremendous figure. Everybody knows him. You know, Nicky. Brother Nick. And we learn something about him in Jesus' teaching, in John sharing about Nicholas. It says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. The name is Nicodemus. But a more important thing is, what does he do? He's a ruler in the Pharisees. He's a master teacher in the Pharisees. He is the most religious of the religious. Donned in his purple dress, his prayer shawl on, all the phylactery gear. He shows up to see Jesus at night. And a lot of people get distracted about, you know, why at night and all. It doesn't matter. If you need answers, you go to them anytime you want to. Because just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Nick's going to find out more about his life tonight than he ever knew. Even though he's a ruler, even though he's a Sunday school teacher, even though he's a pastor in the pulpit, he's going to find out more about his relationship with the God that he thinks he knows than he's ever known before. He shows up at night. He's a ruler, and he comes with great flattery. Verse 2.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except I be with him.
You know what's interesting, and a lot of deacons deal with this because they deal with a lot of family members who have, people will have questions. They'll have legitimate questions, but they either too proud, too stubborn to ask the real question, to state the real need. And there are times in your evangelistic efforts that you have to cut right through the chase, and you have to deal with people where they are as opposed to where they think they are. Nicodemus came and he thought that he could swell this great teacher's head. And he says, we know you're a man from God. You can only God could enable you to do all these miracles. So we know one thing, he believed in the miracles. This religious, somebody say, pretender. I'm not that strong because of what happens. There are people in this life that need to know that God loves them. And however they get to know that God loves them is all right with me. But people are very uncomfortable in their position. Nick was uncomfortable in his skin. So he comes by night and he comes with flattery word. Oh, we know you're a great teacher. But listen to the response, verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now, Sister Mills, if you would, I want you to read 2 and 3, and you tell me, because I have a problem with this, and I'm the only one in all of Resurrection that has a problem with this. I'm serious. I'm serious. As a matter of fact, I've taught on it for years. Oh, you've been in basic. No, I have a problem right here. Because here comes a man, a nice Christian man, religious man. Okay? Man steeped in the law, knew the law, taught the law, could do the law. So he says,
This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
Nobody loves you simply because they can flatter you. Nobody, you can't determine what people's needs are, their motives are, just simply because of their kind words. Because kind words can turn into real bad words. Y'all know, you've been in a relationship more than 3 days, you know that kind words can turn into bad words. Okay, but Sister Mills, keep reading. He comes flattering. Would anybody agree that he's making some kind remarks toward? Even Brown over there in the back would agree. Wouldn't you agree? Brown said, yeah. Nicodemus is being very nice. Sister Mills?
Jesus answered and said to him.
Here's Jesus' answer to, oh, the Lord must be with you. Because you couldn't do miracles unless God was with you. I know you are a man of God. And Jesus said,
most assuredly, I say to you.
You got that right.
Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
But the issue ain't about me. The issue is about you. And unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom. Sometimes you have to move past what people are trying to hide, and you have to hit to the matter of the issue. The issue is, Terry, Jesus knew the motive behind the message.
Right, right.
And Jesus says, look here, don't pretend with me. You want something. I'm about to introduce you to a relationship that you will never forget, because you've made the right move by coming over here, because of verse 17 later. Because I didn't come to in this world to condemn it. I came here to save it. I love everybody. And you're gonna see in a minute. You'll see in a minute. But instead of him saying, well, thank you, sir, that is so kind, he said, yeah, okay, but you need to be born again. He got right to the matter. And sometimes when you're dealing with folk, when you're doing the bus stop thing, you ain't got time to sit there and say, well, you know, that's really nice. Taking all the accolade, the bus come and gone, and you didn't told the person yet that they need to be saved. Jesus dealt with the heart of the matter. This man came at night. He probably don't want to be seen in my company. So I got to get the most of him in this midnight hour. I got to work with him in the midnight hour so that he will never be the same again. Verse 4.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Mistake number two. He comes, mistake one, he comes trying to flatter Jesus instead of dealing with his own issues. Number two, he's taken aback a little, and trust me, I told you I had a problem with it. When Jesus spoke that abruptly with him, Jesus don't seem to be very nice here. You know, man give him compliments and he don't jump on him like that. Well, human nature will make you recoil and make you want to strike back. So what he does is like, okay, in his mind, Nicodemus said, this guy don't know who he don't do. Mm-hmm. Didn't he hear John introduce me as a rabbi and ruler? he don't know who he talking to. And so he engages Jesus in a game of intellectual or mental gymnastics. Can't win. How can this be? When a man is what? When he's old. You mean to tell me he's going to climb back in his mother's womb? What kind of game is this, Jesus? I know basic biology. And then Jesus speaks.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
We're on two different planets. You don't understand either one. But I can tell you that you're not talking about what I'm talking about. And sometimes people that you truly love, if you truly love, you gotta put them in their place and let them know there's something more than you. He's saying, Nick, you're not the center of the universe. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Because unless a man, you're talking about a physical birth. This discussion, this discourse is not about physicality. This is all about spirituality. It is your spirit that needs to be born again. Because you see, man does not possess the moral capacity now to deal or commune with God. And unless he is regened, unless he is regenerated, unless he is born again by water and by spirit. And the water there, we ain't talking about water baptism, you Baptists. I know the first thing they wanted to do, bud, is run and grab a bucket of water. But we're not talking about water here. We're talking about the Word of God as it is applied by the Spirit of God. So here we have a soul force that is dead, doomed, devoid of all divine content, needs reviving, and Jesus says, unless you understand that you need to be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom. You don't possess the spiritual antenna or the vision to see the kingdom. You don't have the eyesight. That's why they could always declare, I once was blind. Because you didn't see the things of God. You see the things of God a lot clearer since you've been saved. I know you do. Just don't, because I remember years ago, Sunday morning, ain't no way in the world you saw anything clear, let alone the visions of God. Oh, I know what I'm talking about now. So here we go. Jesus says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, he's teaching this lesson. See, because before there can be an application, there has got to be a lesson. It does no good to come in and get all this information and then not be able to go out and apply. So Jesus is a master teacher. You remember he said, you're a great teacher. He said, you got that right? I'm going to teach you something now. I'm going to teach you about God's relationship with man. And first of all, in order for you to have a relationship, in order for us to be in love, to fall in love, we got to be right. Yeah. We got to be right. And the we talking about is you, Nicodemus, because you don't understand. You say you want to be in a relationship, that you want to, your home shall be my home and my home shall be your home, but you don't even have any idea what that home looks like. A lot of you made that mistake when you got married. Because if you'd have checked out the home, maybe you wouldn't have got married. Okay. I can't be that frank. I'm sorry, Terry. Please help me out. They want to jump on me. But the issue is, if two people don't see the same thing the same way, what kind of relationship is that? Jesus says our relationship ain't right because you don't understand the things of the kingdom. You can't even see the things of a kingdom. And the reason is you need to be regenerated. You need to be born from above. You've been born down here, but now you need to be born from above. You need to be ready for relationship. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Until you understand that the relationship that you have with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a spiritual one, you're never going to be there. Love won't keep you together. Y'all don't hear me. Because your spirits ain't right. You got incompatible spirits. That's why Paul begged, even in the flesh, don't be unevenly yoked. You putting your spirit with some other spirit? The issue would then be, which spirit? So he says, this is what he says. I want to make sure that which is flesh is flesh. The things of this world only can beget the things of this world. They can only produce things of this world. But the things of the spirit, the same principle applies. They have the same principle. just different consequences. So you can't be marrying spirit and flesh. That's called unevenly yoked. Your spirit got to be like my spirit. And as a matter of fact, it's got to be so much like my spirit that my spirit has got to get down inside you and dwell there and be controlled by you. I mean, by the spirit. What do you think Nicodemus is thinking? Man, what have I got myself into? This is a heavy brother. So those weren't just flattering words, you know, just to say something. This guy is something else. Listen, now, the next verse, it says what? I'm surprised that you think that I said you should be born again. See, he didn't tore him down. He's trying to build him back up. You know, you're a master teacher. I'm surprised. Don't be surprised that I tell you. You know that spirit begets spirit. Do you understand that? You know that flesh begets flesh. He says, mama, not that I tell you that you must be born again. Verse 8 says,
the man the Lord where it is, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot thou tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Nick, you're looking for something that you're not going to see. Edmunds. You hear Kendall laughing up here? Oh, because I told him that long time ago. Long time ago. We expect to see the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to see that. Do you see the wind? But you know it's there. But you certainly can feel the wind. Yeah, do I see the Holy Spirit? But I certainly can feel it. And matter of fact, that's how when y'all get on Pastor Brown about I wouldn't have a religion that I couldn't feel sometimes. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit don't move over a minute, wake up. What's happening? Because y'all been having him sleeping, ain't been feeding him. So when he wake every now and then, or if you don't do nothing but shake your hey, come on, Oakland, wake up. You ought to feel him sometime.
Amen. Yeah. Yep.
But because you don't see him, you don't see the wind, but yet you trust. Let me tell you, I'm telling you, there's some wind out there today and yesterday. It blows. I don't see it. I see the manifestation of it. Because when I look up and see the trees sway, and when I see cars being blown all over the road, all that wind is blowing. Let me get out of this air. The wind is blowing. You understand that earthly thing. You understand that fleshly thing. But the relationship that I'm trying to introduce you to right now is not a physical one. You've got to see this with your spiritual eyes. And no matter how bad your physical eyes are, you can see with your spiritual eyes. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, I'm telling you, if I had to depend on these things for me to see the effect of God in my life, I'd be in big trouble. He's teaching. Listen to what Nick said. No, y'all read what Nick said. How can these things be? But you know what? For years I've done it that way, but I think it impacted him. You know how you hit, you know, in basic doctrine, guys, where Sister Kendall had this little man up that says, and then when he gets that illumination, he says, Nicodemus just had an aha moment. And he says, how in the world can these things be? Jesus just got through talking about the physical wind. Mm-hmm. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus ain't confused. We get confused. But Jesus ain't confused. Because Jesus says, I gave you an illustration. I'm still talking about the Spirit. I gave you a illustration that I thought you would understand in the physical. How many of you military? Ex-military. Wanna be military. Through with the military. There are certain things that, you know, we can talk about because we're in the military. And so if I gave you an example of PCS or TDY, you would say, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. And you're gonna ask me, how can this be? Ah, interesting, isn't it? Listen to Jesus. Jesus answered, and he said unto
him, art thou the master of Israel, and knowest not these things?
I don't think anybody could be this dumb and still be a teacher. Oh, Jesus, oh. He ain't pulling no punches here now. Wait a minute. Did you say you were a teacher? Maybe we should get some high school students to do a background investigation on you to make sure you got your degree. Where'd you get your degree from? You are a rabbi and you don't know these things? I gave you a simple instruction because I'm teaching. You got to get this, Nick. Nick, you got to get this. There'll be no distracting me, Nick. I'm on point. You can cry, your eyes can water up, you can sneeze if you want to, you can drink a glass of water. You don't understand this? I've laid it out for you. So truly, truly, I say to you, we speak and you don't believe me, Nick. And remember, down in verse 16, believing is very important. You don't believe what I've told you. You came here telling me I was a master teacher, and now I'm trying to teach you something, and you don't believe me. Oh, I know exactly what he says. He says, we speak that what we know. Jesus said, I ain't telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know. I ain't telling you, I'm not testifying to something that I have not seen. I'm testifying something that I have seen. Excuse me. To include the wind. Oh, y'all. Oh, I want to. Oh, I tell you, I love doing this stuff. Including the wind. You can't even see the wind, but you say it's there. I've seen the wind. I ain't telling you about something I don't know. I've seen it. And I can testify to it. Because all that stuff that you talk about, all that stuff, all that pious religious stuff about God, and you know God is the father of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know that God is the one that led you out of Israel, and you know that God is the one that gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and you guys added commandment. You know all of that. He says, but what you talking about, you talking to. What you looking for, you're looking at. I ain't telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know and what I seen. This is the relationship that you are seeking. Now, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how much so shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I've tried to have a conversation about stuff that's just earthly right now. And you don't even understand that. That's something very telling, folk. Stop going in to any relationship trying to know everything and not learn nothing. Assuming that you know everything. With God, without God, you can't do nothing. You're just like those sheep. Nicodemus thought he could go on, but he couldn't even have an earthly conversation. And Jesus said, if you don't understand E equals MC squared, hey. You definitely don't want to get on me and no discourse about heavenly matters. About the three persons of the Godhead. You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about theology and Christology and hermeneutology. You don't want to go there. If you don't understand the basics. And what we're saying is that you need to be taught something about the love of God and Jesus. We'll give you all the illustrations you need. Be willing to receive what is being said. See, the Pharisees didn't really accept. They were looking for a Messiah. They just didn't think Jesus was the one. They believed in the resurrection. They just didn't think Jesus was the one. See, it's not what you believe. Oh, this is very interesting. What you believe is not as important as who do you believe in? What is the object of your faith? Is your object of your faith Resurrection Baptist Church? You're in trouble. Object of your faith, Ray Brown? The deacons, great deacon ministry they got here, all them great ushers and greeters they got? The object of your faith has got to be Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand the basic things of this earth, you'll never understand this relationship. You know why? I realized something. This is crazy love. It's crazy. This is crazy love. This is not something that we even think about on a regular basis. Those, when I say we, I'm talking about the proverbial we, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they don't understand that relationship. They have no idea. They don't understand. That's why it's important that we evangelize. That's why it's important that we make disciples so that people can be taught, and then it's up to them to whether they respond. And you will say, well, I don't think it's very fair, right? Nicodemus was a ruler and Jesus, come down on him, telling him all this stuff. Anybody can trip you up. You don't know every verse in the Bible, you know. Deacon Smith, I've seen you get tripped up. I ain't Stace tripped up. This is the difference. Receive that. Don't know everything. Never planned to. As a matter of fact, I always shudder when I hear people, that deacon's needed to know. Man, deacons, they don't know all that stuff. But I tell you what, the Lord gave me the uncanny ability, skill and desire to look at his word and discern his word.
All right.
And that for everything I don't know, he makes it available to me.
Yeah.
And there are some things, then well, why wouldn't everything know? Because some things he don't want me to know. Like, hey, he don't want you to know. I want you to know big head. You won't come to no Sunday school. I can barely get you to come to Sunday school now. You ain't come to listen. You know everything. So there's a chance that you're learning something, you'll show up, you know? Makes sense. Verse 13, and then I'm going to show you something.
And no man has ascended up to heaven.
I've been talking to you. I want you to understand who you're talking to. There ain't but one man who came down from heaven and that ascended. Notice the language that Jesus is using. The last time I checked, he's standing right in front of Nicodemus. He talking like something, wait a minute, came down and went up, and he here? So wasn't the Nicodemus confused? See, y'all thought y'all was smarter than Nicodemus. And you done had all these years of history and Sunday school lessons. But Jesus told him, ain't no man. Nick, I need to tell you who you're talking to.
Amen.
Listen, Nick, hear you. Look who you're talking to. You know, he's saying nobody has done that. And for all of you, you know, Fred, when we were going through our various studies in the early years, people used to, for my various position, because one of the things is that, Enoch and all the boys that supposedly walked into heaven.
Yeah.
Well, this right here is my proof. But I always knew it, because see, I'm a John man. That's why I always knew it, Jerry. Because it says no man has ever done that. Jesus is the only one. Because he could have very well, Nicodemus saying, oh yeah, he's talking about Nick, but what about Enoch? Nicodemus knew he wasn't talking about Enoch. Wait a minute. You're the promised Messiah. I can see it coming. I can see, Sister Kendall's little man, every time I get to this verse, I get to see it. The light must be coming on, but it ain't quite there. I gotta give you something to make the light come on. I'm teaching this lesson so that the light will come on, so that you know the prerequisites for a strong, loving relationship with the one triune God. Listen, here's what he's done. Verse 14.
And as Moses is another servant of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be given up.
Verse 15.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Let me tell you one thing. Nicodemus' mind, you know, that little man that comes on and says, aha. You know why? Because this is conversational evangelism at its best. Because what you do, you have to deal with people, you have to find out where they are, first of all. You got to know. So you go there where they are. And where they are, they're in need of a relationship. You determine that. Jesus has determined that, and now give him something he can work with. As soon as Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up, old Nicodemus started prancing. Take me back. Oh, he said, I know. You in my area now. See, he gave him something that he was familiar with. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He knew it backwards and forwards. Nicodemus, he knew this stuff, and when he says, wait a minute, he's talking about how he led them out of the wilderness and how they got out there. Oh, he must be over about Numbers 21 and verses, starting at verse 5. You know, and it starts out, and the people of God complained. We tired of eating the same old stuff. Yeah, this manna from heaven. We sick of manna. Manna in the morning. Manna in noon. Manna supper time. We sick of manna. And God in it, and that is sin. Anytime you complain against God or the men of God, that's sin. And so God's and sin will always be judged. Oh, y'all better hear me. Oh, but right now, Sister Dorothy, oh, in basic doctrine, oh, they y'all off the charts now, because you got a big old visual up here to see. That Jesus not only said you've got to be born again, he turns around and shows Nicodemus how it is that you can be born again. First of all, you got to recognize that sin is sin. And know that sin, all sin will be judged. And you know how I know? If y'all in that Numbers 21, what it says is that God says, you don't like manna? try some of these snake sandwiches then. Sent them snakes and they bit them. And as they bit them, they died. They died. And then they saw, oh, we be dying here. And then they came up and said, hey, Mr. Moses, look here. Hey, look, Mr. Moses, would you go talk to God on our behalf? You know, hey, he don't kill us all here. And God said, I got a provision. See, you got a stick? To take the very thing that is biting them, put it on a stick, and lift that stick up. Oh, Nicodemus is swaying now. Oh yeah, because it all comes home. It's way over in the Old Testament, but Nicodemus realized that God was speaking to the people then, this is how you get saved. This is how you get born again. And he goes on to say, he says, and even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he says, just as the serpents were lifted up. Oh, they lifted up. And you know, see, and basically you got a visual here that I see a snake wrapped around a pole. and I'll probably tell you something like this. You notice what other international symbol has a snake on a pole? And you said, doctors. Oh, yeah. You know, because that is the medicine for the snake bite, for the sting of death. That is the medicine. Because God has a provision. But then God had a condition. Because he says, whosoever look up. Y'all didn't hear me. See, because faith doesn't look down. Faith looks up. Faith looks up, not down. That's why you run around here with your heads all down on the ground. Lord have mercy. Faith looks up. My faith looks up to thee, the Lamb of Calvary. Savior divine. Lord, hear me while I pray. Take all my sin away. For everyone who looked up, they live. Nicodemus said, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a loving relationship in Christ that saves. A loving relationship in Christ that saves. And then he just blows his mind. He, you know, right now it's like, but when Jesus states this next verse here, when he states the gospel in one verse, turn the world upside down. Because he says, I told you, you got to be born again. I've shown you in these last two verses how it is that you are born again. He says, but I want to pause right here and tell you the motivation behind it. Come with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So wonder they call this the complete Bible in one verse. This takes care of any isms you got. This one verse. We'll just do a little simple like it. For God. That takes care of atheism. Atheism said there is no God. That verse right there defeated. It says, for God. So love. Wait a minute. God so loved means that he loved beyond comparison. And I can tell you why. I'll tell you who he so loved first. The world. See, most of y'all think that God is an American. That he only loves Americans. Oh yeah. See that one verse. It says love the world. Loved all nations. That he gave. That takes care of all stinginism. God is a giver. his only begotten son, his only specially born son. What a sacrifice. That whosoever believe in him, whosoever, everybody, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Takes care of a lot of things, that fatalism and all of that, that God is in charge. That one verse. But he's so loved. Look at the verse. And matter of fact, it took, you know, Pastor Brown preached on this the other day, and he made a comment, and I was talking with my grammarian on the staff, Sister Kendall, and I said, you know, hey, you know, I took fifth grade grammar, but just look at that so again. And she says, I know what you're thinking, you're right. She says, it is in fact a demonstrative adverb. I said, all right. Thank you, Miss Sweet. Yeah, see, because that means something. See, but that was my fifth grade grammar. But later on, you know, I took a little Latin, you know, a little Hebrew, a little Greek, and I see that the way that it's written, especially in the Greek, it can mean, if that's a demonstrative adverb, which means that it modifies the verb love. It's modifying love. And love is written in the aorist tense, the indicative mood, and the active voice. That means there ain't never a time when God didn't love me.
All right.
Somebody better help me.
Yep.
Never a time. God so loved, they ain't never. He loved me when I was at my worst. God loved me. When I'm at my, what could be considered the very best, God loved me. God loved me my ups, my downs. God loved me when I didn't think nothing of him. God loved you when you weren't even thinking about God. You were an enemy of God. You were a crackhead, a dope addict, a flesh peddler. You were an adulteress. You were an adversary of God, but God loved you. And because it's in the aorist tense, it means it's continuous. That even when I fall back down now, God loves me. Y'all don't hear me. God loves me. That's the motivation behind it. The motivation behind Christ coming and dying, God providing even in the wilderness, love. God loves us. And there ain't nothing you can do to keep God from loving us.